the reviews are in, and we're going to tell you what they are in between bouts of coughing, because both of us have been hit with colds or allergies or something, because it's that time of year. Anyway, he's Todd Vandenberg. I'm Rob Steele. We've got reviews. We've got touching on some movie news, basically a little bit, I think, some kind of, we might skip it. We don't feel well, but we're here for you watching movies so you don't have to, or maybe you want to. You might watch them, you know, in the future or today or yesterday even. See, that's my segue. How's that for a segue? Is that a good segue? Because
the master
you a movie this week called
Yesterday. Woo! Go Rob, master of segues. Unlike last week when I reviewed a movie that I didn't particularly care for, I won't even mention it because it doesn't need any more promotion because it should die the painful death it deserves. I watched Yesterday, which I really, really enjoyed. It's a very interesting conceit, and I'll talk a little bit more about who created this movie. But the idea is that a young man wakes up, and he is the only person on Earth who remembers the Beatles. He is a struggling, like very struggling singer-songwriter. He goes out on gigs, and they show a shot of a room just full of people. He goes out to this festival, and there are thousands of people there. And then they pull back. That's not the room he's in. He's in a little tent with about, let's see, well, there's four of his friends and about seven kids. That's his audience. he does have an original song, which is written for the film, and it's a nice song, and he has a pleasant voice, plays guitar well, but he just doesn't have it. He's in an accident. Power goes off all over the world, which is beautifully done. Beautifully done. He wakes up, and he makes an offhand reference to a Beatles lyric. And his manager, a comely young lass, doesn't get the reference. And he's thinking, that's weird, but doesn't think anything about it. Things go on for a couple days. He keeps on making offhand cultural references to the Beatles because everybody does, because it's part of our culture. Nobody gets it. And he realizes the Beatles never existed. He Googles it. Ah, no Beatles. This is really weird. He remembers the songs, being a good singer-songwriter. He decides he will bring the music back to the world. Imagine if the entire Beatles catalog came out of nowhere all at once. That's what this movie is about. And of course, he becomes super famous. It's really, really well done. I want to talk about the people behind it. Danny Boyle is the director. A different kind of movie for Danny Boyle. He typically does a little more hard edge stuff. Not that he hasn't done some fun movies, but little things like 127 Hours. Slumdog Millionaire. You may know this guy's work because he's done fantastic movies all the time.
Yeah.
What was interesting to me is the writer is Dan Curtis. I'm sorry, not Dan Curtis. Wow. Flashback to Dark
Shadow. Tony Curtis?
Yeah. Richard Curtis. He's written a few nice little movies like Love Actually, Four Weddings and a Funeral. He's done some amazing work. So it's nice when these two got together and produced this film. I didn't think it was a great movie, but I thought it's a really, really good movie. And I don't know offhand, I can't think of any way to make it a great movie. That's just how I saw it. But the performances are fantastic. The young man named Himesh Patel does all his own singing, plays the piano, plays the guitars. It's really him doing all of the work. And it's not that he's tremendous, it's that he's good. And that's the whole point. He's just some guy who stumbles into this amazing treasure trove of the Beatles music. And as time goes on, he starts feeling a little guilty about it. It's like, why is he getting all the benefit of this? And the side plot, I'm not even sure if it's a side plot. A big part of it is his relationship with his manager, because as it turns out, she might be a little more interested in him than he thought. Lily James, who is in one of my favorite movies, Baby Driver. They're great together. It's very believable. It's wonderful. You just have to watch the movie because the path this takes the arc is fantastic. And it's Beatles music. It's full of Beatles music. And of course, it's all done by Mr. Patel, which it's really, really cool to hear this different take on all these covers of the Beatles. Most of them done just by a guy sitting there at a piano or with a guitar. It's just a nice, fresh take on it. He doesn't have an amazing voice. He's got a good voice, which fits with the songs. It's just really well done. It's not quite a great movie, but I really, really, really enjoyed this and highly recommend you catch Yesterday.
I've been seeing the trailers for it, and it looks, I think it looks really interesting. I wasn't really sure if it was worth seeing or not, but
here's the thing to me that would make it, I just realized, here's what would make it a great movie. Kate McKinnon is in this movie as a manager. Oh, and I should mention Ed Sheeran is in the movie quite a bit as a guy who kind of takes Jack Matlick, who's the character, under his wing and realizes, oh, this guy's better than I am, because this is hardly a spoiler, but they have a songwriting contest. 10 minutes, come back out. And Sheeran comes out with a pretty cool song because he's Ed Sheeran. And of course, Sheeran didn't write it in 10 minutes. And Patel comes out with, I don't remember which one it is, but like maybe Across the Universe or something. And is like, okay, yeah, I'm just an apprentice. I thought I was good. So this is the kind of stuff that eats at the characters, like realizing, I'm not this guy. But Kate McKinnon plays the manager who takes over his career and promotes him. And for part of the movie, she plays it straight. And it's awesome. There's a scene where she's acting as in what a real person would do. And it's wonderful. And I want to see Kate McKinnon in a movie where she's just a character. I love how crazy and manic she can get. The movie moves on and she gets more towards what you would expect from Kate McKinnon. And I think that might be the one flaw in the movie. I would rather have seen her play a real person. Not that real people can't be crazy and manic. Obviously they can be. And in the situation she's put in, most people would have become crazy and manic. I get that. But I would like to have seen more of Kate McKinnon just acting straight as opposed to being Kate McKinnon and doing kind of Kate McKinnon things. She doesn't go nearly off the wall like she does in so much of her work, as she should, because that's what the work calls for. But I would have liked to have seen more of her just playing it straight. But that's the only like little tiny thing that I don't like about the movie. Like I said, it's not like I don't like it. It's just a personal thing. I would have rather than gone that way. But great dialogue, great performances all around, and especially the music. Just if you like the Beatles at all, you have to see this freaking movie. Absolutely. And if you don't like the Beatles, you should see this movie because it's really good performances, great story.
End up liking the Beatles at the end of it. What a concept.
You would.
You know, now I'm looking forward to seeing Yesterday, which until now would have involved a time machine. And what I reviewed kind of needs one, but you know, it didn't really need a time machine. But first, did you know we missed a holiday last week?
What holiday did we miss?
I was completely unaware that it was Batman Day.
I was not completely unaware of it, but I didn't tie it into Cinema Savants, which is kind of weird because we talk about movies.
We do. It moves around more than Easter. Who knew? But yeah, it's a big year. Batman turned 80 this year, which makes him old. And they announced that one of the animated series is going to be released on Blu-ray, actually October 29th. Amazon's got it for $90, and it does include one of the movies, but it's not Batman the Animated Series. It is not the Adam West, Burt Ward version. It's Batman Beyond. See, there's the time machine, because Batman Beyond was set well after Batman the Animated Series. Bruce Wayne himself in this is 80 something.
Yeah, probably.
If not older. He looks old. He looks decrepit. He's not Batman anymore. The job of that now goes to Terry McGinnis, who is introduced in the first episode of this. What a concept, introducing the main character in the first episode. Those crazy, wacky Warner Brothers. Anyway, it's a next generation of... It's Batman the Next Generation is what it is, really. So are you going to see your Batman rogues gallery with, you know, the Penguin and Catwoman and everything? No. They're gone. They're dead. Mr. Freeze pops up for an episode because basically he's a walking cryogenics chamber anyway. It makes sense. He still looks old. Okay. And yes, the Joker does make an appearance in the movie that will be included in the Blu-ray set. But is it him? Is it not him? He's still voiced by Mark Hamill, who did his voice in the Batman animated series. Did a phenomenal job. So it's great to see him come back for that. I'm not sure about Luke Skywalker in the next movie, but that's not him. That's the writing. And I'm sure we're going to get to that at some point. Other characters you're going to see in this, Barbara Gordon is in this. She is no longer Batgirl. She's Commissioner Gordon now, and she looks old because it's that many years later. Alfred is gone. He's replaced with a dog named Ace. Go figure. Bruce plays more the Alfred role in this, but he's also Alfred and kind of Batman combined, teaching Terry how to become Batman, and it does work. Your new, I guess the main recurring villains, who I think are really good, Shriek, guy who controls sound, and they do some stuff with this that you wouldn't, at the time, I guess, you didn't think of as being sound-related things or things you could do with sound. But they did this, and this show came out, 20 years ago? So, you know, some of the stuff they say, this is future technology, and you kind of go, we've got that now, but we don't have the flying cars that you do, and flying cars are always going to be in the future. We need to get over that. Actually, I think one of the best recurring villains is a female assassin named Ink, who is basically a sentient blob of ink, who is cute when she takes human form. Who knew? Anyway, it's been... I just finished watching this with my kids because I still have the ye oldie DVD version. And my kids, who loved Batman and Batman the Animated Series and the Justice League series and Justice League Unlimited, which I'll get to in just a minute, this ties in with all of that, which is wonderful. The one thing that I did notice is not on this DVD is the last episode of Batman Beyond is not on it, because the last episode of Batman Beyond is not a Batman Beyond episode. It's in Justice League Unlimited because it's all part of the same universe. And that last episode where we tie up Terry's storyline is done by Amanda Waller in a Justice League Unlimited episode, which I forgot to look. May or may not already be out on Blu-ray. I know it's out on DVD. I'll get back to you on that. But Batman Beyond, it's, like I said, the Blu-ray is going to be coming out next month. $90, which is not bad for, what is it, 30? No, it's, I think it's 60-something episodes and a movie, which is not bad. And you get to keep it as opposed to streaming services, which may or may not be here next year, because the DC streaming service is not doing as well as we'd like it to be.
Justice League Unlimited is on Blu-ray, by the way.
Hey!
So there you go.
See? Beat you to it. Or it beat us to it. I know what I mean.
It's out there.
It's the cold medicine.
It is.
So, yeah. So that's the review for Batman Beyond. Go watch it if you haven't already, or if you have, watch it again. It's worth another watch.
Not that it needs it, but I concur. I really, really like Batman Beyond. I don't like it as much as the original series, but I don't really see how you can top Batman the Animated Series. But right. Batman Beyond is really, really good. It's everything Rob just told you, so I'll shut up. Yay!
It's some good stuff. And let's see. Let's go, I guess, now to the big question of the week. Anyway, actually, this is a question you came up with, so I'm letting you ask it this week.
Which ties into Rob's review of Batman Beyond. And we've talked about this a lot. Not every show.
Although it seems like it sometimes.
Almost every show, we talk about the DC animated universe and how, yeah, they've had some misses, Batman and Harley Quinn. But for the most part, they knock it out of the park. Not only in the series, but in the individual movies. Like Flashpoint Paradox is like, oh my God, that's one of my favorite movies. It's a freaking DC animated movie. They miss the mark more often in the live-action films, at least since the Dark Knight trilogy is done. Not that they haven't done some good job. Wonder Woman, yay. But, oh my Lord, have they ever missed the mark. So I thought, why on earth doesn't Warner Brothers actually put some money into the animated division? And I don't know how much money they spend on making these films, but they don't spend $150 million on making these, because that's not the market they're releasing to. They never recoup their costs. But why don't they do that? Why don't they make big animated films? It's not like there's not a market for it. I mean, Incredibles 2 did over $1 billion at the box office. That's a billion with a B. To me, it makes perfect sense. It's like, okay, we're kind of off and on with the live action. Not that they should abandon it. They shouldn't. But those properties are there. I just don't get it why they haven't done that, because they could make billions of dollars if they release these movies. It's not like people won't go see animated films. Clearly they will. Disney, Pixar, of course Disney owns Pixar, they have their own banks. They almost have their own country based on the amount of money that they've sucked in with animated movies. It's just odd to me that Warner's has never seen that. And they have so many properties. I mean, they could redo Flashpoint Paradox. They could redo...
Well, would they need to redo it?
No, I mean,
why not just take the version that they've put out on, instead of putting them straight to DVD?
Yeah,
I think a lot of these actually are, you know, just
I agree.
Put them on a big screen. There's no reason not to. It's not like you're not going to make the money back that you spent on distribution.
I think in some cases they probably do need to put more, say, polish. The animations. Yeah, exactly. Polish. Not for the performances, but just the way it appears. Because I don't know that people are going to spend the money for that, as much money as they would for the style that we get with a DC animated universe. Nothing wrong with it. It totally fits what they're doing, as they would for Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse or The Incredibles, etc., things like that. I think they need to put more just money into making it a bigger, spectacular cinematic event instead of just focusing on the story. Of course, maybe that would throw them off and we would wind up with big flashy things that aren't good, which is a lot of their live action movies.
Yeah.
But if they would just again, we've talked about this a lot, just let the people who are running the animated division do the live action. Problem solved. Yes. Bruce Timm is like, why have you guys not seen this? He's only been knocking it out of the park for, God, what is it, 30 years?
Yeah. He is the Kevin Feige of DC.
He is. And they just put him in this little corner of directed DVD movies. It's just, it's insane. It's absolutely insane.
It doesn't. Well, I mean, they're not even doing that with their TV shows anymore, which admittedly are only, and this might just be me, they're only seeming to be really good for a season or two, and then they kind of fall, oh, look, it's Ollie Queen. And I realize saying that Stephen Amell can come kick my ass at any
time. He doesn't even have to come. He just do it from where he is, probably.
He's into professional wrestling now. You know that, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Even though Christopher Daniels carried him in his last match. But, you know, just saying. I think Arrow and Flash and everything, they're good shows. And actually, I think that they've got a more cohesive storyline than the movies do. They're movies. I really don't know what they're thinking when they make them. I'm not even sure they are thinking when they make some of them.
I have to say, I like the direction they're going in, where they seem to have given up on the whole, we're going to tie everything over into this huge overarching story, because they clearly couldn't do that. And now they're just going with, why not?
They could have, they just didn't know how.
Right. Aquaman did over $1 billion. Wonder Woman did huge numbers. Shazam did really well. And I didn't think Aquaman was great, but it was a good movie. It was entertaining.
It was fun.
Exactly. Same thing with Shazam. If you keep on putting out movies, if you put out movies like that, I would be disappointed, because you could do better movies. But if they keep on making movies like that, I'd be more than happy. They're entertaining movies, except please, would you, for the love of God, do a Martian Manhunter John Johns movie? I'm tired of waiting for it. But other than that, fine, just do these movies. But my God, you've been doing it in the animated division for decades. It's time to actually do what you're really good at, but just put it on the big screen. Just make it more cinematic. Because they have released some films, like The Killing Joke, which, certainly has its problems. That never was going to be a huge, that story I don't think was ever going to be a huge crowd pleaser anyway. And the changes they made to it ensured it was never going to be a huge crowd pleaser.
Well, I don't think the story for that was long enough.
Right, which is why they added.
It was an extra sized comic at best. So that's not enough to, as opposed to, like, you know, the X-Men movies, where they're trying to cram 500 issues into a 90-second movie or 90-minute movie or whatever. And that's just too much to do.
Yeah. And touching on that, the rumors are that the Batman movie with Robert Pattinson, a lot of heavy rumors going around that this is going to be based on The Long Halloween, which is like, yay, that would be excellent.
That is a very good story. And that was a 12 issue.
Yeah. 12 issues.
Yeah.
So plenty of material. Awesome story.
Available as a trade paperback wherever good books are sold, or even bad books sometimes.
Even bad books. Yeah, true.
Are there bad books? Yes, there are bad books.
There are bad books, yes.
So yeah, I think, you know, DC needs to do
better. Yes, please. We're waiting for it.
How's this? Could the DC animated movie on a big screen be what we're looking forward to?
Totally.
See, there we go. There's our what you're looking forward to.
Genius.
This week, because I know you said you were having trouble looking for one this week.
Yes.
I kind of have two. but I'm going to put one in the thing I'm not looking forward to category. And I don't know if you saw this, not comic book related.
Exactly. What?
Field of Dreams.
Yes.
I don't know if you saw this or not. When they made Field of Dreams, they actually did build the field, the baseball diamond in the cornfield, and they left it there as a, what's the word I'm looking for? A
tourist attraction. Tourist trap. People go all the time.
Yeah. Have you heard what they're doing with it next year?
I have not.
Uh-huh. There's going to be the first ever Major League Baseball game in Iowa. They're supposedly having, God, and it's somebody huge, too. It's like Yankees and Red Sox are playing in Iowa on this field that seats maybe 3,000 people. I'm kind of looking forward to it, not because of the game, not because I'm going. I don't live anywhere near Iowa. I'm looking forward to it to see how much of a disaster it's going to be. Because I know the Yankees are involved. I want to say the Red Sox are the other team.
It's White Sox is the other team.
White Sox?
Yeah, okay. Which why wouldn't they make it Yankees, Red Sox? But anyway.
Because it's a home team for Chicago, home game. So the Chicagoans can just migrate south. I don't know.
Should have made it the Cubs.
Oh, good Lord. That would not have gone well. Just on, but I mean, you put the Yankees anywhere. The Yankees, yeah. as much as a lot of people hate them, are a big draw.
Yes, so, they are.
Yeah, you get the Iowa's not going to be able to handle this. It's going to be a disaster, and it's kind of like watching the Titanic. You know, you watch the movie Titanic to watch it sink. Well, that's probably what's going to happen here. And I feel sorry for the people who own that field in Iowa.
It's really odd. What's the oddest thing is that this is going to be a regular season game. That just seems so strange.
It's not even spring training. A spring training game, I would understand.
Right.
Even though it's still probably going to be snowing in Iowa at the time.
Probably would be. But yeah.
But no, the other thing I'm looking forward to, and this happened just before the show. This hit me. I'm really, really looking forward to the Addams Family movie being in theater so I can stop watching the damn commercials on Facebook every 10 or 15 posts.
I have not seen a single commercial for the Addams Family movie on Facebook. You must be on the wrong groups, sir.
Apparently I am. Every third. Oh, look, Todd went to the beach and Lee went somewhere and Ted went somewhere with it. Cousin It and Lurch, son of a bitch. The Addams Family's back again.
It's because you also host the Witching Hour. That's the tie-in.
Oh, damn it, L. This is all your. No, I'm kidding. It's not. Jeez.
That's really strange.
Well, that and it.
I'm so sorry, Rob.
They stream the commercials a lot too. Look, the movie looks cute, but damn, come on, it's animated. See what you could have done, Warner Brothers.
See,
you could have made this into a DC movie, but you didn't. Could have come out and we would have been just fine, couldn't we? But no, had to make it the Addams Family.
That would make a very cool DC, if they DC did their own version, because Lurch would obviously be Solomon Grundy. He's just going from there. It'd be fun.
Actually, well, I mean, there's precedent for tying them together, because Batman and Robin and the Addams Family both did Scooby-Doo movies.
That's true, they did.
That means
terrifying.
They must take place in the same universe, so maybe Lurch is Solomon Grundy.
Mm, that was a terrible Lurch impression. I should have had my mouth open. Love Lurch. Lurch is my favorite character. In that, not my favorite character ever. That would be weird.
Probably.
The emotional depth of Lurch. We should do a show on that.
All Solomon Grundy, like Batman and Robin and Scooby-Doo. Solomon Grundy eats Scooby snacks. For they are delicious. I'm just throwing that out.
Solomon Grundy, a very underused character, and he needs to be in a film.
He's in one of the Bat movies.
He does. He should be. Maybe he'll be in the next one. But if it's Long Halloween,
forthcoming Green Lantern. he was a Green Lantern baddie for a while, wasn't he?
I don't know. Maybe. Sure. Why not?
I mean, neither of us go back to the origins of the DC universe, so.
Not even I, and I'm older. Well, by the way, that is a nice callback to Ace the Bat Dog, or Bat Hound, as they originally called him. Because he was actually around in the 50s. And I also thought that was very cool that he didn't call him Bats or Bat. He just had a normal name like a dog would have. He just called him Ace.
Right. As opposed to the Bat Cow they have now. I'd like to be making that up. There's pictures of Damien with his sword standing next to the Bat Cow going, dinner? You know, which there's a wonderful note to end the show on.
Yay, Bat Cow.
we will be back again soon. I already know what I'm reviewing next week. It's something we left behind, but I'm not telling you what it is. That was a hint, though. Huh? Huh? Yeah. Anyway, we'll see you next week. Good night, everybody.
Captain, we're losing power in the warp engines.
I think we should be leaving now.
I'm going to go home and sleep with my wife.
And on that unusually harmonious bombshell, it is time to end.
I am very disappointed!
Man, we have a weird job.
It's shameful, but it's a living.
And like that, he's gone.
Hey, who turned out the light?